Praise God. Let's get into the Word. Romans 1:16. Last week, this is like a little mini series in preparation to get ready for sales days. And also,
September Harvest.
Thank you. All right, so let's go there to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. Romans chapter 1. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Roman church, the believers that were at Rome. And this is what he says. And I believe that he doesn't just say it to the Roman church, he says it to us. And he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it," in the gospel is what that means, "for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just will live by faith." Hallelujah. What a proclamation. What a bold stand that he took. Now you have to understand that this is costing him something to make that kind of stand. And for us, and you've heard me say it over the last several weeks, and even when we were talking about grace and truth, that it sometimes you end up having to pay a price to take the stand. To take the stand, you pay the price sometimes. And it's not that you are paying the price for your salvation. It's that to take a stand on something that the world loves to just kind of gloss over and say, well, you know, everybody finds his own way. Well, I find that the Word of God doesn't say everybody finds his own way. That, in fact, Jesus, and we sang it, Jesus was the one who said, "I am the way." Yeah. It was an exclusivity. The reason why the gospel tends to get attacked more than anything else is because it has an exclusivity to it. It's not trying to say that we want to shut people out. It's not us that's shutting people out. God had a way for us to get to him. It is the way. Jesus is the way. "For I'm not ashamed." And so this little mini-series is called "Not Ashamed, Able to Answer Every Man." Able to answer every man or woman. Able to answer when people ask us why we believe what we believe. Why do we come to church on a regular basis? Well, the scripture has an answer for that. It says, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together." Now, for those of you that, for various reasons, you have to connect with us online, praise God for online connection.
Yes.
Right? But for those of you that can, you can congregate. There is something about getting God's people together that makes a difference. There is something that is almost tangible about getting together with people. Because God has created us for relationships. He's created us for community. He's created us for one another. So we have a reason why we do this. And so God wants to give you not just a simple reason of, well, why do they go to church every week? Well, it's not just because we want to get together. It's because we value the collective body of Christ to be together, to draw strength from one another. We're going to see that in just a moment. Now turn with me today as we move past what last week we said there were three things that you can kind of position yourself being able to answer every man. We pray that God would open a door. Remember that?
Yeah.
Open a door, God. Open a door. Secondly, God help us and open our mouths. Open our mouths. Give us the boldness that we need to open our mouths. And God, open the heart to hear. Because as I've said before, and you've probably heard me, if you've ever heard me for very long, you've probably heard me say, you can maybe win an argument, but lose a person. We don't want to just argue with people. We're not here to argue and debate people.
Amen.
We're here to show the love of Christ and to live the gospel out. So in 1 Peter 3:15, go ahead and turn there if you would, please. 1 Peter 3:15,
Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3:15. It's a great passage, man. I'll tell you. I've enjoyed preparing some of this for you because it just kind of awakens something and reminds me of my walk and reminds me of those times where maybe I get a little dry, and the answer to dryness in your faith is start opening your mouth.
Yes.
I'm telling you. The answer to dryness or feeling like you're a little distant from God and you really haven't fallen into terrible sin, you're not doing anything bad, but you feel really distant, start opening your mouth, start talking. It was like what Pastor Christine was saying about just start looking at Jesus. You start looking at him. And just that as she calls it, the oogly googly or whatever it was she said, you know, and there is a connection. There is a connection. So in 1 Peter 3:15, praise God. 1 Peter 3:15, he says, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts." Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. That means set him apart. That means he's got a special relationship. And it's set him apart in your hearts. And always, say always.
Always.
Be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you. With meekness and fear. With meekness and fear. Always be prepared. One translation says to give an answer. The Greek word to give an answer is not defense, like getting real defensive, right? And like getting really, really angry. No. The word there actually is apologia. Apologia. It's where we get the word apology. Now, interestingly enough, in our culture, when we say apology, it's like, "Oh, babe, I'm really sorry. I forgot to take care of something," right? You might say, "Well, that's an apology." But that's not the same word that it's talking about here.
Oh.
That's not the same context. It's not being sorry that I did something wrong. Instead, it is actually a word that said to give an answer, to give a reason. The word actually means to provide an honest answer, to provide an honest reason for what? For the hope that we've got.
Right. Yes. Right.
You know, for the hope that we've got. Why are you so happy? You know, I've heard people say that, you know, people come up to them at work and say, "Why are you so happy? I know you're going through something, but you don't seem to be shaken by that. You don't seem to be, like, wrecked by that." And it's like, why are you so happy? There is a way to advertise your faith without, you know, jamming the gospel down anybody's throat. There is a way to advertise your faith. Now, there are moments that you need to open your mouth. Sometimes you do need to say something. Sometimes you need to step in and be that bold answer. I like what Ray Pritchard said. He said this: "We have raised a generation of spiritually weak children, Christians. Our children end up knowing words, now listen to this, but not the message. They have the phrases, but not the underlying meaning. They don't even know what they believe because we didn't explain why we believe." The word apologia is where we get the word apologetics. So you hear sometimes people talk about apologetics. Apologetics means being able to defend the faith in an intellectual way, but also in a spiritual way. So God is going to give you answers to things. At the end of the World War II, there was a Quaker philosopher named Elton Trueblood. He called America, in our culture, he referred to us as a cut flower. We have the bloom of Judeo-Christian heritage, but we have cut ourselves off from the roots. And we have the bloom, and we think we're still connected, and we're not. He's talking about the what's going on in our culture right now. You see, we have a whole generation that has the benefits of the Judeo-Christian values. But as one, we were at a conference a couple of years ago, and, you know, this shocking statement came out, we live in a post-Christian nation. And all these ministers were in the room, they kind of gasped. But the statistics prove out that generation after generation, it has not been passed down. We've missed a generation. So now we have kids who grow up and they don't really even fully understand what the gospel is. They don't even fully understand what's happening. And so what God wants to do for us is to be able to answer that. To be able to answer that. And remember, last week, God opened the door.
Yep.
Open the door, God.
Open the door.
Open the door. Open. Say it out loud. Say, open the door.
Open the door.
Open the door. See, God will open the door to conversations, to people who are looking for what? They're looking for answers.
Yes.
They're not looking for an argument. And just because somebody asks you a question, I haven't always learned this, folks. Just because somebody's asking you a question doesn't mean they're being antagonistic.
That's true.
It doesn't mean they're being against you or against Christianity.
That's right.
They're asking a question because they want an answer.
Yep.
And they're looking for the real. And glory to God, I believe we've got the
Amen.
Real.
Amen.
I believe we've got the real. We've got the love of God. We've got...
Yes.
All right. So, Pastor, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? There are three things that I believe will help us. Three things. Actively listen. Actively listen with compassion.
Amen.
Actively listen with compassion. Because when somebody is needing an answer, they really are looking. They don't want they don't want cliches. They don't want your bumper sticker from the 1970s.
Oh my. Whoops.
And they don't want your snarky sayings either.
So true.
On Facebook.
That is so true.
They're not looking for that.
Nope.
That just gives them ammunition. See? Yeah. They're those hateful Christians.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
They don't need your snarky answers.
Yep.
They don't need your trite cliche answers. They need genuine answers that I believe God would give you. When we're praying genuinely, Lord, open the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now open my mouth. Because the answer you give one may not be a cookie cutter answer you give another.
That's true.
And I'm not talking about compromising the gospel, people. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about God's going to give you the right words to speak.
Thank you,
God, give
me
the words to speak
that
they would hear what I need to tell them in the way they need to hear it. Come on. Everybody in this room is different. Everybody that's online watching this, we're different. We hear things differently. Remember what Jesus said? He said, be careful how you hear.
Right.
Right? Now, that was in the negative. But flip that over in the positive. Be careful how you speak.
Mm-hmm.
And how you answer. Right? Because God wants to give you. So actively listen carefully with compassion.
Yes.
With compassion. Years ago, there was a lady in my church, and even before Pastor Christine and I were married, and I was a young single pastor on staff, and I'd come down to the front office, and she stayed at the front office. And she was the perfect person to stay at the front office mm-hmm. because she listened. And the way you knew that she was listening, she would just kind of look at you, and she'd go, And she'd look you right in the eye, and she'd really listen, And no matter what you told her, she would always come back with, I know what to pray for then.
Yep.
She'd look at you and she'd stare you right in the eye and she'd give you that real intense like, I think we need to, our world is so fast paced right now. You know, I'm so glad that Pastor Christine was talking about looking to Jesus. But we need to look at one another too.
Amen. It's true. It's
good. We're so busy. Yeah. We're flying around. So busy. I took a walk this week. I had the chance to to go and see my parents. I took a walk on the beach, and it was so nice early in the morning just to talk with Jesus. Did I say something?
No, no, there's a moth flying, or a beautiful white butterfly.
So, sorry. I took that opportunity just to kind of just.
Here it comes.
And you know what? I feel like I was on a long vacation, and I really wasn't.
Right.
But what did that do for me? Sometimes you need to pause and stop, and in your relationships with those people who need an answer, actively listen. Carefully, with compassion.
Amen.
With compassion. The second thing is it's okay to assert the reality. Now listen to this very carefully. This is not politically correct. It's okay to assert the reality of absolute truth. Absolute truth. We live in a world that doesn't accept absolute truth. But truth is narrow. Go with me here just for a moment. Those of you math geniuses out there, 2 plus 2 always equals what? 4. That's absolute, isn't it? It's not 17. It's 4. 2 plus 2 is 4. There are absolutes in this earth. You know, listen, Albany is the capital of New York, not New York City. Am I right? That's a fact. There are facts. There are things that are hard and fast and true, right? A pentagon has five sides, not six. Football games have four quarters, not two. Not nine innings. And a duet means how many performers?
Two,
not four. That would be a
quartet.
You guys are so quick. 60 seconds equals what?
1 minute.
60 minutes equals what?
1 hour.
What about, why can't I just say that it equals 2 hours? Because it doesn't. But what if that's my truth? You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
There are absolutes. And so when I say actively listen, but then the second thing is assert. There are times where we need to speak truth into situations. Truth is narrow. Truth is something that is true when other things might not be true. If everything's true, then guess what? Nothing is true. Truth depends on truth. Sometimes people think truth depends on your opinion or the latest Gallup poll. And, you know, that's why we Christians insist on the concept of absolute truth. Absolute truth. There is an absolute truth. Without it, we have no faith. Think about that just for a second. Why? We believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. Why is that important? Because if he's just one of us, then that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That diminishes his deity. That diminishes his sinless life. So that's why we believe in the virgin birth. Because there is an absolute truth in these things. We need to assert to the crazy, mixed up, confusion society and culture that we live in, that just what the psalmist says, all your words are true. Or what Jesus said, when Jesus, in speaking about truth, he said, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. And so, as we assert the reality of absolute truth into a situation, what does that look like, Pastor? What does that look like? What does that look like? What happens when the person says to you, well, all religions are the same? You know what the temptation for all of us to say is? Because we don't want to rock the boat. Listen to me. This is the kind of conversation you have at the water cooler. And your friend is maybe they grew up sort of Christian, maybe sort of not, maybe they're not. And they go, well, yeah, you know, I've been reading this thing on Buddhism, and I all religions are the same. You know what the temptation for all of us? I work in a secular environment. I don't want to rock the boat. Mm-hmm. The temptation for all of us is to not assert truth in that situation. No. You know what we say? We go, oh, yeah. We just nod our head, and we change the subject. You know why? Because we don't want to assert truth. I'm not talking about starting an argument, but you can say, well, I would differ with that opinion, because Jesus was the one who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus said it. What are you doing? You're inserting truth. You can still do it compassionately. You can still do it kindly. You can still do it gently. You can say, well, I haven't found that to be true. Jesus has a claim of exclusivity. The followers of Jesus, that's the reason why, oh man, I found this out recently. And it really kind of got me a little bit upset. It got me upset. There was an actual conference on religions that got together several years ago. And you know who they didn't invite? They didn't invite Christians. And they got together, and it was called a Congress of World Religions. They didn't invite Bible-believing Christians, because they said, well, we're all the same. And they concluded at the end of their conference that we're all the same. But it was interesting. The reason why they said that is because they didn't have a differing opinion. Everybody else was like, well, yeah, I sort of believe that. Yeah, well, I can see your point there. Listen, Christianity is not about a vote, about whether or not I agree with you. That's not truth. And so I think it's interesting. So one of the things that we have to do is we have to, when we are sharing our faith, Lord, open the door. Because He can open the door. He can open the door, and you'll be like, oh my goodness, I actually have an opportunity to share Christ with this person. Look for those opportunities. Lord, open the door and open my mouth so that I can actually give an answer. But my answer will actually line up with my life. My answer lines up with my life, that there is something different about me. That my kindness, my love, everything I'm talking about has to be wrapped in the love of God. Absolutely everything. When we wrap it in the love of God, we have to not only assert the reality of absolute truth, but now the third point, we have to approach every single conversation that you have with love. Our words our words are marked by an observable love. Our words should be observable. When we say, I love you, there should be some kind of action that comes behind that. A love that God put in our heart for others. A love that says, Lord, I love those folks. I love those people. Mm-hmm. Lord, show me how to love them better. Mm-hmm. It is said of the famous missionary William Carey, who went to Asia, and the first year he had no converts. Nobody was accepting the gospel. Nobody. And then there came a point where he actually just changed his approach on how he loved people, how he invited people, how he interacted with people. Our interactions are actually approaching every single conversation we have with an unbeliever, approaching that with an absolute love, approaching that with saying, you know, this person I'm talking to, yeah, you know, they're, you know, it could be a waitress, it could be a store clerk that is really bugging you. But if you approach every single conversation, I am not saying I have arrived, because sometimes people just kind of rub you the wrong way. Am I right?
Yes.
But God's still calling us to a higher standard. It's a higher standard. If we're going to say, Lord, open the door. When you get the waitress or the store clerk that's had a bad day, turn it around. Figure out, ask yourself the question, why are they so grumpy? Maybe they had something happen to them.
That is true.
If we're praying this honest prayer that says, I'm telling you folks, as you're fasting this week, we're going to have some conversations.
That's true.
When you can't help but have conversations when 12 or 15 ukuleles start playing Don't Worry, Be Happy.
That is true.
You know, there's going to be conversations.
Yes.
Do we have the ability to say, Lord, open the door.
Yes.
Now open my mouth.
Amen.
Open my mouth. And God, open the heart.
That's right.
That the right word goes down into the heart and grows up into a seed. You might not see them come to the Lord Sunday or Saturday. But I want to just... It's not about a one-time, oh, I'm going to go witnessing. It's about, am I a witness? Am I a witness for the goodness of God? Am I actively listening into those conversations? Actively listening. Active listening takes concentration. If you are distracted, if you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, the halt system. Go take care of those things so that you can
first
actively listen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Actively listen. And assert the reality that there is an absolute truth. Here's the truth, but this is the truth we've got to get them to see. You don't just argue about politics and the end times and all of that. Forget that. Show them who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
Show them who Jesus is. That's going to transform society faster than any political movement. It's show them who Jesus is. Approach people with that absolute truth that Jesus came to save those who are lost. Isn't that what he said after Zacchaeus changed his whole heart?
Amen.
It wasn't that what Jesus said? He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost.
Yes.
The person you're conversating with, they are one of the ones that he came to save. And if he came to save one who's having a grumpy day, you could be the person who opens the door by just turning the handle.
Amen.
The door could be open.
That's right.
The door could be open. That angry face, that angry person that you encounter could be a family member. The door could be open for you to walk through with asserting truth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn you or send you to hell. God sent his Son into the world that you would be saved. That's how much he loves you.
That's right.
What have I just done? I've inserted absolute truth. Who is Jesus? And then, you know, approach that conversation with love. If they want to argue with you, refuse to argue. And then the fourth, it's actually four things, not three. Except that some people will be offended. I think that's important for you to know. We live in a society that in order for me to actually be friends with you, you have to agree with everything, and that's ridiculous. Mm. Well, you're not my friend because you didn't vote for my guy. Not true. Mm. Not true. That's a fallacy. That in this society, we have to have you agree with me on certain things in order for us to have relationship. Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong. I believe that Jesus approached every situation, every person, with the kind of compassion and love that we all can have. Why? Because Romans chapter 3 tells us that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, which means we can give that out.
That's right.
That's the good news. You can give that out. But just accept the fact that some may be offended no matter what you say, no matter what you do. But can we not give the enemies of the gospel any ammunition, please?
Right.
Let's not give the enemy ammunition by how we treat others, how we approach things.
Amen.
I believe that God is sending us into the world to be His representatives.
Right.
His representatives. And our words, our life should be backed by an observable love. It should be backed by an observable love for one another. Love that breaks down barriers. Love that says, listen, I believe that God loves you just the way you are.
Amen.
But He loves you so much, He doesn't want you to stay the way you are. He wants to transform you by the power of truth and love and grace in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I believe it's going to be a great, great week this week for you in preparation for Septemberfest. We've got these awesome bracelets that I believe will help you. This is going to help you have that conversation and keep it about the right things. You know, the world is looking for some answers. They're looking for simple answers. One recent study said they're looking for why you believe the Bible, why you believe in Jesus Christ, why you believe in the Holy Spirit, why you believe in creation, why you believe in the forgiveness of sins, why do you believe in angels and demons, why do you believe in heaven and hell, and why do you believe in the second coming of Christ? There's like 9 things that I just rattled off that the world's kind of looking for answers. Some of those answers, maybe you don't have clear answers on. And that's okay. That's okay if you don't have a clear answer or you can't answer that succinctly right now. What I said last week and what I've said over the last couple of weeks is you cannot argue with a changed life. I met Jesus. I may not have that answer for you, but I'm telling you, I believe that God will give you the answer as you seek those answers from the Word of God. You'll know. You'll know how to answer every man for the knowledge. And notice it said in 1 Peter 3, it said with meekness. With meekness, not arrogance. With meekness. Amen? Praise God. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You, God, for Your help. Lord, You're helping us to prepare to have these open doors of conversation. Father, right now, I just want us just to pray. Pray for open doors for this Saturday. This Saturday, September 18th, Father, we're praying for open doors. As a church right now, we're praying for open doors. Father, that there would be open doors of conversation. Father, in the name of Jesus, there will be open doors. And God, I thank You for giving us an open mouth. An open mouth, not a mouth that just idly stands by and doesn't speak and assert truth, but instead, Father, we would assert truth after actively listening to people. Father, that we would actually show Your kind of love to those that are around us. Father, that they would see the love that we have, that we would approach that conversation with absolute love and grace. And God, You would use our young people, You would use the puppet show, You would use the opportunity to share the gospel story by giving out a bracelet or a walking stick. Father, that we would show people goodness and kindness. And Lord, that You would use the joy of a ukulele band to just capture people's hearts and attention, where in this day and age, we need joy. We need some happiness. We need something happy. And so, Father, I pray that we would help to point people to You in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now, if you've never asked Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. Those that are here will also pray that prayer out loud with me as a way of just giving you that comfort space that you can pray this prayer out loud. It's real simple to become a Christian. It doesn't mean church membership. It just means that I want to follow Jesus. The earlier followers of Christ didn't have to jump through 18 hoops to become Christians. They had to believe this. They had to say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead, and I receive his forgiveness right now by faith, and I confess Jesus as my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, or if that's how you can help lead others in a simple prayer of salvation, we want to send something to you to help you in your walk with Christ. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. And we believe that God wants to use every one of us. Now, next Sunday is Back to Church Sunday. You have friends, you have neighbors, you have coworkers that haven't been to church in years. Here's the stretch challenge for your faith, not just Saturday, but who could you invite to say, come with me next week to church, come with me. It's Back to Church Sunday. I would love to have you come. Look for that invitation. I believe that God will open the door, open your mouth, and open their heart. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's going to be great. We've got our ukulele rehearsal right after a church today. And our closing verse, let's go ahead and say that out loud today. Let's stand our feet right now as we say this and pray this from our heart. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7.